Trivial Pursuits post-game show.
Because we're so full of it, we had to drop another one.
So let's go back to that Mario, what was it, Mario Hotel? Hotel Mario?
Oh, Hotel Mario. Oh, yeah.
What was that, like 89, 90, something like that?
It was a CD-ROM for Philips.
Yeah. CD-ROM. By the way, listeners, CD-ROM.
I'm sorry, what is that?
By the way, Mandy, CD-ROM.
Yeah.
It's a really shitty computer.
89 was a really good year.
So it said you did both. You did both Mario Brothers. And
I did Mario, Luigi, and Bowser.
You're better than Chris Pratt? Like, let's hear your Mario.
I'm trying to think. I think Mario had the voice that was a little bit different, like this. Hey, you know, hey, all toast is toast. You know, that kind of thing, like this. And then the brother had a thing up that was more like this. Hey, Mario, we got to go find out what's it sounded almost like Curly or something. And then of course the mom would just, you know, that was it. That was the story of my career. The terrible thing is, I get interviews now, and people will go, "Did you know at the time that this was going to be one of the worst games ever?" It was like, yeah, we were all sitting in the session going, "This sucks.
This is horseshit."
No, we didn't.
I read about it, and it's something like the guys, whoever it was, it was in charge of the production. They were older than the people normally associated with video games. Like, that's the oblique little sentence they put in there, which lets you know, like, oh, they had no idea what they're doing. So that's
good. Yeah, they were super out of touch.
So let me ask you one more question, just for funsies here. And you can punt the question if you don't want to answer it. But you've like met everybody in the voiceover world pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so who was it that came in to your
studio? It was the biggest dick.
I don't want to ask you that one because that's a hard
one. I want to know that one.
I can say that because the person's actually passed away. I could tell you that if you want.
Okay, well, sure, go ahead. But that wasn't the question, but go ahead, answer that one first.
There was an old comedian that was known as Mr. Television. His name was Milton Berle. And Milton came in and was the most foul-mouthed, mean spirit. Yes, in fact, I'll tell you, there was a great joke with that in Vegas where he's sitting there and that was the myth, basically, was the guy was hung like a moose, I guess. And so he's sitting there and he's taking a pee, and a guy comes in the bathroom and goes, "Hey, Burl, you think you're so hot?" He goes, "Let's measure him right here." And Buddy Hackett's standing there. He goes, "Just show him enough to win."
Damn.
which was truly bad. But he was that was one of the rare times that all of my friends at Christmas got Milton Berle outtakes.
he was really that mean.
Man. And just, you know, it was like, it was 50 years of humor with Milton Berle. And he was just, yeah, fuck the kids. They don't want to fucking laugh at this shit. I mean, they want to get their fucking cock sucked and die from AIDS. It was just like, geez,
wow.
I mean, just like, it was not venomous at all. It was like, I even would have came in, it was like, "Hey, Milton, I don't do any fucking jokes to me, you cocksucker. I've been doing comedy 50 fucking years." It was like, okay. It was like,
wow.
Yeah, he was a fun man.
Okay, so that ruins a whole lot of things.
I'll give you another great. Paul, you guys know who Paul Frees is?
Yeah, right? Yes.
Paul's the voice of the original Haunted Mansion and all that stuff. Great Disney guy. In a session, this was the tail end of his career. And they said, "Paul, we just needed to do a pickup." And his response was, "For the other actors, it may be a pickup. For me, it's an encore."
That's a great line.
Back in the day.
No. Here's the question was like, who came in and you were like, "This is going to suck." And they just knocked it out of the park.
Jack Nicholson.
Really?
Because everybody was saying he's really temperamental. It's going to be awful, really rough. And the guy was just friendly and down to earth. And you know, he was very cool. It was very nice, and just it wasn't at all. Although we did have one in who's a well-known woman. I won't say her name because she's still around doing ADR for a film. And she had 30 lines to do. In 5 hours, she did 3. Single line, she would argue, "No, the production's fine. I'm not changing." So the poor guy, it was like, he'd go, "Yeah, okay. Hang on just for a second." And he'd go out in the hallway and turn into Sam Kinison. "No, because she fucking won't do it. I keep fucking asking her to do it. She won't fucking do it. Fuck. Okay." And then he'd walk back in. "Okay. Let's try this." And she'd go, "No, I'm okay. Hang on." And back out in the hallway. And it was just, that went on for hours. It was like, we were okay. We were charging hourly.
What was the longest session you ever involved in due to like dumb stuff like prima donna?
We were doing an ADR session with Snoop and Redman when he was
so we just like, oh yeah, blasted.
So we start off beep beep beep, boom, right there. Now, 2 hours into the session, beep, beep, beep. Oh, fuck, man. No, shit, that's you. No, fuck, man. And it's just like, and everybody, and we was like, well, that's okay. We're clock ticking with it. And they didn't care. It was like, yeah, that took a while, but we had a good time. Everybody was fun.
I love
Mark,
that.
Let me ask you a question. If you had to only choose one genre within all of the different things that we do in voiceover, as like, if I asked you to choose a favorite, I know it's like asking to choose a favorite kid, but like, what's your favorite thing to do?
Character stuff is it, you know, and even that though is an interesting thing, because you do the character, and then when you're in a session, they have a very specific idea of what they want. I think the coolest thing for me was way back when I first started. You guys have probably heard this, the Van Halen story. I was working at a music studio, which I completely BS'd my way into. I had no idea what was going on at all. They wanted me to run Studio 5 doing media. So they wanted to start doing movie trailers and radio spots and all that stuff in there. And so I lied and got Warner Brothers Records to come in, Van Halen, the whole band, everybody. And they're all standing in there. And then this guy, they brought their own engineer, and he goes, he's trying to patch an effect. Now we're still, this is analog. And so I go, oh, hey, man, if you try this. And he turns around in this room full of people and goes, I really appreciate it if you shut your fucking mouth and stay out of this. Now, right side wanted to knock him off the chair. You know, right. It was like, left side was like, you know, oh God, there's my career. You know, and so they did the spot. In fact, there was another major talent way back then. You guys probably don't know Chuck Riley. If you ever look him up, he was the voice of CBS for a long time, all kinds of stuff. And they did the spot. It was like, man, this just did. So I actually produced my own spot and went in and voiced it and tagged it on the end of the stuff when I sent to Warner Brothers. And they called and went, what is this? And I went, oh, shit. I applied. And they went, nah, this is, and I put in all kinds, Van Halen and Jets and shit and stuff and crazy, because I always loved production. And in radio, that was always a cool place to hide, because you could go in the production suite, flip the light on, and management wasn't going to come in and go, what the fuck did you just say on the air? Go apologize. So it's like, red light's on. We can't go in yet. Maybe, so that was kind of a fun thing. But genre-wise, I think that, here's a funny, when the first audition I ever had, I'd done a ton of VO. I had an open audition at Hanna-Barbera. And I'd never done an audition. I'd done a ton of voice work, but it's like radio. You know, you go in, you do stuff. I'd never auditioned for anything. And so I wrote this script that was, you know, now we'll have to find the great knower of stuff. You may call me great. Great. Yes. You know, and I'm jumping all. They were like, God, he's on crack. Make him stop. And you know, and that kind of started everything and started the wheels in motion. It's interesting. The business has changed, as we all know, dramatically to what it was. It's funny now that, you know, because I felt like we were voiceover gypsies. We'd actually physically go everywhere, you know, to the buyers or a casting director, and he'd walk in. Oh, Mark, how you doing? We work together. Oh, yeah. You know, foot's in the door. And now the essence needs to come through as an MP3. You're not there to work the room anymore, you know. And sometimes that personal contact helps, you know, cracking a joke, lightening things up, that whatever, and not having that where it's just pushing a button. So you better make that thing shine. And so it's just a different, but I think the character stuff is, especially if they really let you go with ad libs, and usually because I do a lot of that kind of stuff going a little off. I remember at Cartoon Network once with Colette Sunderman years ago, and doing a, I think it was a troll or something. She goes, okay, and I did the script, and she goes, okay, go ahead and do an ad lib thing now. So I do, and I look out, and she's going, and the engineer is going, and the writer is sitting there going, and it was like, whoa, signed that death warrant.
That's not what I wrote.
Exactly. My words aren't good enough.
It's not the character.
Yeah. So after all these years, does Mark Grau still get up in the morning and audition?
Yeah, I do. But I've gotten a little more select. It's weird now, because I think since COVID, as you know, that line has been crossed from union to non-union. And it's not that I'm this hardcore, because, you know, I used to love it when it was Screen Actors Guild and American Federation Television Radio Artists, because you had two, and anything that SAG would go, we're actors, we're not doing that. And SAG or AFTRA would go, yeah, we will, you know, and it was like, great. And so, and everything would go in the same pot. Now you're seeing, I mean, it's amazing to me when you're seeing, you know, big campaigns and it's like, what, you know, and they're sadly, that's the part where there's always some, yeah, I'll do you all, you know, I got the gig doing, I was the voice of Kraft. And it was like, they're paying you $300 for a national TV spot. What the hell are you doing? Right. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so that part of the business has changed, you know, a lot. And I think quite honestly, I'm kind of glad to be on this. I can't imagine starting out now. I think it's a very, very, very different playground.
Absolutely. So that was going to be my question to you, Mark, is for, you know, for the kids listening, what's your advice for people who are starting out or who have been at this for, you know, even a couple of years and maybe have plateaued or haven't seen the needle move?
You know, like, what would you say? You know, reach out to somebody that does this. Writer works all the time, man. We're talking, you work. I mean, it's just, but reach out to somebody that really does this. I love it when they're, well, I studied with, you know, Bruce Finkeldenz in Moose Dick, Iowa, you know, he's, and it's like, he does a lot of community theater.
I've been to Moose Dick,
that's
Iowa.
Great.
Right? So have I. That's,
you know,
a great
place. You know, but I mean, it's like, he said, oh no, that's not, he said, all demos should be 7 minutes or something. So, you know, it's like, you know, and so I think it's not that hard to vet someone now. My other biggest pet peeve is, I just booked this huge job. It's, God, it's like I can't talk about it. It's like, yeah, well, here's yeah. another oh. approach, right. then don't until you can.
Right.
You know, it's that's kind of a weird, you know, and I think that's, and I always tell people too, it's like nobody, the honesty on the internet, it's like, look somebody up, because nobody ever gets up and goes, God, I took the shit this morning. God, it was awful. I stubbed my toe and, oh God. And then I, you know, and I looked outside and it was raining and there was a dog crapping in my, you know, it's like, I got up this morning, there were unicorns in my yard. It was a rainbow. Oh God, it was so wonderful. And it's like all, you know, puppies and everybody's in this. And it's like, you know, that's not the real, I was talking to somebody recently too about the internet. And it seems like, you know, what seems to drive that sometimes is anger, you know. It's like, rather than opposing point of views or something, go, I did a Trump parody, not a Trump voice, but it was like an SNL skit. And it was just, you know, a lighthearted, funny thing. And I mean, literally within 25 minutes, was a Bill Maher thing. I had, I'll bet 15,000 death threats. People were, you know, watch your ass in the parking lot, motherfucker. I mean, just went off. And it was like, you know, I was just the hired gun, guys. It was, I didn't
fucking
write the script.
Up,
I
did.
Oh my God. They wow. went, and finally it just turned it. Well, if you saw what HBO paid me, fuck you, you would have done it too. I mean, it's like, come on, really? I mean, it's, and, but people are so on edge. And what drives me nuts is people, wow, I had a hamburger for dinner. You had a hamburger? Yeah, what, out of your fucking mind? Nobody eats fucking beef. I mean, what's the matter? What, you know, and it's like, I just was saying what I had for dinner. I had a great, I went up to see my 4-year-old at that time. This was last year, my grandson for his birthday, and they live outside of Philadelphia. So I had taken a picture. If you've been to Philly, you know, Pat's and Gino's, right?
Philly. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and it's a tourist thing, but so
Peter
I took a picture on the corner and went, hey, you know, if you know, you know, and this guy immediately goes, that's bullshit. I've lived in Philadelphia. That's nobody goes to those fucking places.
Yeah. The tourists go there.
You know, yeah, exactly.
The real people go to Mars.
Yeah, and he goes, well, that, or, and I go, well, there's also a place called Frank's. I've never heard of it. And I went, well, my daughter's lived on Tasker for 21 years, and it seems to be, well, obviously, she hangs out with the wrong fucking crowd. And it was
Jesus.
Like, now, at that point, wow. I'm like, well, let's jump on a plane and go up and talk about this. And it's like, no, calm down, Mark. And finally, I just went, seriously? So all of this, we went down this road over a 4-year-old's birthday party. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Like,
really? And the people
and
are
the
so
answer is
pent
yes,
up.
They are.
It's
there's
crazy.
A lot of people who have literally just left this reality in the last
oh,
5 years.
And what's crazy is the internet thing, that's become their reality. And it's like, you realize that people, you can say anything you want, you get a couple of people to back him. Now it's truth. And it's
well,
a pretty
I think,
scary
you know, I mean, definitely like COVID made that, I think, the worst, right? Because for a while, nobody really could do anything.
Sure.
And so people just kind of shrank in on themselves, and this was their only link to the outside world. And it became more and more toxic. And it was just like, oh, people, come on.
There's a really interesting documentary. I think it's called The Antisocial Network or something.
Yeah.
And it's the guys that actually started. There was a thing in Japan called 2-Channel. And that was the first precursor to everything internet, where you could go on anonymously and say and talk and put up pictures and dirty pictures or swear or do whatever you wanted. So these guys started one in the States called 4-Channel. And it's amazing.
4chan, yeah.
And yeah. 4chan. Yeah, exactly. And that's, and it's talking to them that created it. And they said, when they started all this other stuff like QAnon and he goes, it's bullshit. I know the guys that did that. They're sitting in their mom's basement. He goes, there's no reality here at all. He goes, basically, it's like, let's see if we can do this and people will fucking believe it. And it's right. like, really? Wow. And it's just, it was just not just that, but it was interesting how the power of the internet and you put enough stuff out there. These are the same guys that went after Scientology. And boy, that was that's another interesting story. That's probably the only, back when I was with William Morris, if you don't know, Los Angeles, the big blue hospital is Scientology headquarters. And they said, hey, you book tomorrow at 3:00. I went, okay, what is it? It's the sign. It's like, oh shit. So all night I'm amping, I don't want to be the voice of Scientology shit, you know? but I'm you know, a newbie and it's like, I don't want to go. No, it's like, well, of course I'll, you know, so all I could think of was go. And so I go in and they're like, it's for Dianetics. They go, can you just billboard the word Dianetics? And I'm like, sure. And I mean, they were looking at me like, what the fuck? Why did they send this guy over? And it's probably the only audition I've ever walked out. I went,
you
yes,
tanked
I
it.
I didn't book
yeah.
it.
You right. tanked it. I love it. You know what's so crazy is that I literally just got an email last month. Way back when I first started in the early 2000s, I fell for the same shit. And somehow I ended up on their production list.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I've turned yep. them down.
Golden
no
era.
No joke, for is, close yeah. to 15 years, but yet they still keep reaching out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, is not it still, fucking interested.
Is it still Claude LePage? Claude LePage? Something like that. Yeah, he's the guy. Yeah, Golden Era Productions. Yeah, yeah, yep, me too. Yep. Like, he's probably
yeah, they just,
his
I just,
everybody.
I just got another one about a month ago that was saying, hey, we really love what you did. We'd love to have, you know, and it's like, all right, look, there's crickets. It's like, that's not even, you don't even want to engage. It's like, I'm not, it's just let it go. And just
well, then,
it,
and now know. Worse, right? Now it's not even real people doing shit. It's they fucking send their AI bots out there to do all this stuff that's not even real, just to agitate and get clicks.
But it's such a brilliant idea for a religion. It's like creatures in a volcano that came here from another planet that are running Earth. Let me give you a check.
Let me give you a chance.
It's like, well, the you know, it's interesting. The story goes that Aldous Huxley, another amazing sci-fi writer back when, yeah, and L. Ron Hubbard were sitting up in Altadena, which is right above Pasadena, and they were getting high. And they were thinking about, you know, how could you make a whole shitload of money and not pay taxes? And he went, oh, religion. And that's kind of where L. Ron went, which makes a lot more sense to me than creatures in a volcano, but I don't know.
Well, he was a sci-fi writer before.
Oh, that. Oh, so yeah.
He,
oh, hell
so
yeah.
He already
oh,
had all
huge.
That.
Oh,
all
yeah.
That, you know,
massively.
Right in his thing.
Sure. Absolutely.
So. All right, Matt, wrap this bitch up. We got to go.
Oh, we got to wrap this bitch up? So
God, I love
the,
it when you call
who's
me
got
bitch.
The final score? Who's got the final score? What was the final score?
Final score, Maddie 2, Ryder 1, Mark and Mandy holding that big old fat Hunkin zero.
Yeah, that's because we were just holding out. Thanks, man. We didn't really want to show.
Okay, well, hate to say it, but I won once again.
Good.
Okay, so Mark, thank
Bask
you very much.
Glory.
Anything you want to pimp real quick? You know, let people know where to find you, what to hook you up. You know, where to, when to call you, if to call you.
I just key the, you know, key my name, which is weird. It's MarcGraue. Somebody went, is that a stage name? It's like, yes, I wanted something no one could pronounce. It sounds like you're having a seizure. My, like, sadly, my parents didn't believe in consonants. So, you know, but no, I, you know, the coaching thing, I mean, I do that. Like, you know, everybody, it's much more in the vein of I love at this point. I'd much rather see somebody else's success. You know what I mean? It's like you get an email or something from somebody and they're going, it's like, yes, that's awesome. I mean, I just, you know, and you could, because they still have that spark. And we all, if you've been doing this for a while, it's, you know, it's good. You're still glad you're booking it, but you don't have that same, you know, it's
I
like,
still have
oh,
the spark.
You know. You know, well, but no, which is great. But I mean, it's like when they, you know, it's like, oh, they, you booked it. And it's like, you know, it's at Lime Studios in Santa Monica. What time? Because if it's in the morning, I'm not going because I'm not going to take 5 hours to get there.
Yeah, because you know? I just looked at my pension and it looks really good. So I don't need that.
You know? Well, and that's kind of where it, I mean, it sounds very dickish, but and you don't mean it that way at all. But no, I'd much and to be honest with people, you know, and just tell them, hey, you know, this is the reality of this business rather than the you can make, you know, you too can make millions with your voice. You
well,
know,
that's
and I get
voiceover man.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, hello, I'm voiceover man. Yeah, so yeah, and I've got man. I've gotten shit it. Over that too. With you know certain some people, that's not funny. That's demeaning to. It's like what demeaning to superheroes. It's like shut up.
Right, I love voiceover man. It's great.
No, he's great. He's fantastic. It's
well, I think I was the biggest flattering comment was somebody said, "God, this reminds me of Dick Organ." And it was like, really? Thank you.
That's, oh, Chicken Man.
That's, yeah, that's quite a compliment.